1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 6. If thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished up in the words of faith and of good doctrine, whereunto thou hast attained. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 6.
Heavenly Father, we ask you to open the eyes of our understanding, Lord. Enlighten us to understand you and your kingdom truth, that we might be pleasing to you in all our ways. We do lift up now this prayer, as did the Apostle Paul, that the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto us the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, that the eyes of our understanding being enlightened, that we would know what is the hope of your calling, Lord, and what the riches of the glory of your inheritance in the saints, and what the exceeding greatness of your power to usward, your people, who believe according to the working of your mighty power, which you wrought in Christ, when you raised him from the dead and set him at your own right hand in heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. And Lord, you put all things under your feet and gave Christ to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. So we read in 2 Corinthians 4, 10 through 12, the Apostle Paul writes the following. He says, always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus. Notice always. Anybody else notice that when you're not bearing about the cross, you're not living the crucified life, which Jesus said is to be lived daily, right? If we're going to follow him on his stated terms, Luke 9, 23 and 24. Anybody else ever realize that that resurrection power isn't flowing and filling you when you're not bearing about the cross? Once this starts to seep in, it takes a while for us. Some of us are slow, like me. But once this starts kicking in, then you're like, ooh, I love this resurrection power in my life. I think I'm going to keep doing what God requires for that to stay in my life. What a concept. It's like if I'm dying and being buried, what does that mean? That doesn't mean trying harder. It just means dying deeper, just surrender more. The cross is a surrender. It's not a struggle. And sometimes we are prone as Christians to kind of make the cross something it isn't. And this is just my opinion, but carrying around a wooden cross and showing people Jesus died on this cross, that's not what God had in mind. Jesus didn't tell you to go build a cross with a couple of wooden beams. What he means by that is you're dead, you're crucified with him so that he can raise you up in his power. And then you preach, and that's how people get saved, not by seeing a wooden cross so much as hearing the gospel of the cross that was the mere altar upon which the Savior died and bled, and then he was buried. And it is finished, and he was raised from the dead. So that cross, death, burial, and resurrection is reenacted in our lives daily. Because as Paul said, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ that liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. So here in 2 Corinthians 4, 10 through 12, always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that, oh, that's a pivotal word, right? That, what happens when you're crucified with Christ? Here it is. That the life also of Jesus, there's the resurrection, life. That the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. Now, how many of us want the life of Jesus manifesting in our body? We are new creatures in Christ. We are the temples of the Holy Spirit. We are his ministers of reconciliation, his ambassadors. And that mission is accomplished according to the power that works in us as he's raising us upward, as we are daily surrendering and we're desperate for Him. That's what it means to be poor in spirit. Hallelujah. So verse 11, "For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake." In the context, that is external buffeting and attacks and persecution. God uses all of that. "For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake." And here's why. Here's that word, that pivotal word again, "that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. So then, death worketh in us, but life in you." Notice, when the death of Christ is working in us, the resurrection life of Christ is reciprocally working through us into the lives of others. Let's read that last sentence again. It's short and so powerful. "So then," that is, in light of the cross working in our lives, "so then death worketh in us." And why is that? What is the purpose? Here it is. "But life in you." So this may be one of the most powerful ministry verses in the Bible, even though it's so easy to read right over it. See, as we're dead and buried with Christ, the life of Christ is working through us into the lives of others. Many feel hopeless, like they can never overcome the flesh. It drags them down and plagues them. And yet, we know that God is able to bring the victory that He ordained in our lives that we walk in. And it's through the crucified life He commanded that we walk in. Colossians 3:3, "For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God." That's the safest place to be, is it not? Because if we're not there, we're not dead and buried with Christ, we got sin reigning, Romans 6, and it brings all kinds of evil and unrest and conviction, guilt, shame, right? The wages of sin is what? Death. But how are we hid with Christ in God? How are we hidden from these things? It would be to be dead, right? To resign ourselves. All right, Lord, I am dead and my life is hid with Christ in God. And it's powerful to declare that prayerfully every morning. Verses like this, Colossians 3:3, and the one we quoted earlier in Galatians 2:20. This is the only time, if you don't mind me sharing on a personal level, that I began to experience success over sin in a consistent way, is when I started not only learning, but applying and saying, all right, here we go. Lord, I am crucified with Christ. Just go into prayer, get into spirit, and surrender. People say, what is the cross, brother? What is it really? Well, we could say that it's you dying and being buried with Christ and Him raising you up. That would be accurate. But the understanding and the application of it is kind of like an individual thing that you got to just decide and go, you know what? I'm ready, Jesus. Take all of me. You must increase and I must decrease. I want you to reign in my life. I'm done with self-idolatry. I am done with the rebellion against you, O Lord. I'm done with all the shame and the evil and the guilt and the ugliness and the death that it brings. I don't want that anymore. I love you, Lord, and I want you to reign. And I want to do it your way, Lord. And that's why we got that little book. It's 31 prayers. That's all it is. And it's 31 cross prayers. It's available on safeguardyoursoul.com. The store page, and also on Amazon. It's just a prayer each day to incorporate the cross, to begin your days dying downward. And that's when success is going to happen, because the success is the resurrection. But tell me what comes before the resurrection? Death and burial. And I believe that as we begin to walk in the cross life, there's going to be such an exuberance and kind of a shaking of the head, like, what took me so long to get to this party? Why did I wait? Why did I resist this? This is what's happening. This is the gospel of Christ lived out in the lives of His saints day by day. Powerful ministry that bears fruit to the glory of God only comes out of the cross life with Christ, whereby you and I are dead and buried with Christ, and He's raising us up by His grace, and His power is filling us. It's filling us. It's propelling us. It's leading us and flowing through our lives to minister His truth to others in the love of God. And that's what He means when He says that as death works in us, life works in you. That is, through us to you. Anointed ministry isn't coming from some kind of degree which God never ordained that any man go get and buy and be trained by mere men. No, the moment He saves us, we're in the school of the Holy Ghost and the Word, and we have the Word as a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. And the Word reveals that it's through the crucified life that the life of Christ manifests in our mortal body and works in us and through us into the lives of others. That's how ministry works. Amen? I mean, can all of us here gathered together around the throne of Christ acknowledge that we've done ministry more in the flesh sometimes and then other times in the spirit? Which one do y'all like better? You can go home, raise your hands to the Lord and go, Lord, you are so good that you even used me. You are amazing. The Bible says we're striving against sin in Hebrews 12:4, and that would be we battle with the cross, or there's a conflict. As we're surrendering and God's blessing us to be able to do so by His grace, that's when the power of the Spirit is going to teem in us and flow through us to be a blessing for Christ's eternal glory. So as we consent to our own death and burial, Jesus raises us upward in His divine strength, divine empowerment, power from God, power from on high, as it said, as Christ said. In the life of the disciple of Jesus comes from His resurrection grace, God's grace, raising us up and working in our lives as we consent to our own death and burial. So we're saying, as some call it, the great exchange. We're giving up our lives so He can reign in our lives. Boy, what a blessing that opportunity is. And what an exchange. Death and burial precede God raising us upward. God is not going to raise up anyone who's not dying downward. Romans 6 is a great chapter to read every morning prayerfully. So death and burial go before the resurrection. And God requires us to die and be buried, which means to surrender and say, Lord, I want you to reign. Remember of the last day rebels who have a form of godliness. The Lord said they're lovers of their own selves. And they have a form of godliness, but they have an outward show and pretension or profession of serving God, but they deny the power thereof. What does that mean? They deny the authority of Christ to reign in their own lives. And the fruit of that, as He gives a resume of such in 2 Timothy 3, is pretty ugly, isn't it? And yet, we can't miss the fact that He's talking about those who parade themselves as being Christians, but they're not really submitted to Christ. Have we all been there? Yeah. So are we really looking up to the Lord with our hearts and hands lifted and say, Lord, I want you to reign in this life? God isn't going to force that. We've got to humbly, voluntarily submit to Him. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God, right? Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. That's the most powerful displacement verse and spiritual warfare verse in the Bible, perhaps. When we submit ourselves to God afresh, upward, then we can resist the devil with his authority. As in Michael the archangel told the devil, the Lord Jesus rebuke you in the book of Jude. Then he has to flee. You want to shut the devil out and then go lay down and sleep like a baby? Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Then you can resist the devil, right? And then he has to flee from you because he has no legal right any longer. It's only sin, which would be in the form of rebellion, that gives him the foothold. James 4:7. So God cannot and will not raise us up if we're not dead and buried. The cross concept of Scripture and of Christ's kingdom is at the center of our walk with God, where Jesus is enthroned in our lives. His death, burial, and resurrection are reenacted in our lives daily, Romans 6. And this is the only way, as we begin to talk earlier, and we come in for a landing here, and we'll pray together in just a moment. But holiness, which means being made whole and being in Christ, He is our holiness. And yet he said we have to abide in him for that to take place, John 15, and for the fruit of his holiness to manifest. And speaking of the cross and holiness, because there can be no holiness without the cross. See, that's part of the problem, and it's not intentional, perhaps. We got a lot of well-meaning, blessed brothers and sisters that are preaching on sin, rightfully so, straight from the Bible, and on the necessity of personal holiness. Remember, follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord, Hebrews 12:14. Man, those need to be preached from A to Z every day, right? And yet, the cross is what's missing, the biblical cross we're talking about in this message, and that's what brings forth holiness. So we preach holiness, but also we must preach the cross, because that's the only way Jesus prescribed that we keep sin out of our lives, the sin that he initially cleansed us from at the moment of salvation, right? That's why he said, if you're going to follow me, here's what you got to do. You got to deny yourself, disown yourself, let go, and then you get rid of all the death and sin and evil too, by the way. Isn't that a blessing? Let go and let God is probably really biblical, actually. Let go of that, and I got something much better for you. And that's what I was referring to. That's how it's been in my Christian life, is when the cross started getting traction in my spirit, in my understanding, in my mind, from camping out on the scriptures of the cross, I did begin to wag my head or shake my head figuratively and go, what took me so long on this? But I'm glad now to begin to understand it, because that's the victory that you will experience with the cross. You will experience and walk in Christ's resurrection life, and you're going to get addicted to that. And that's a good addiction. Amen. So as we close and before we pray together, Travis Bryan III, some of you are familiar with the radio programs we did together, Travis and I, and where he talks about the cross life. He said this, he said, holiness speaks more to nature than it does to conduct. Good conduct is the spontaneous byproduct of a new nature of the new creation man. Through the cross and death to the old nature, we are new creatures in Christ, 2 Corinthians 5. And he continues to preach holiness, he says, as conduct without the new nature through the cross understanding is legalism. Holiness is actually derived from the word wholeness, wholeness. Let me read that sentence again. Holiness is actually derived from wholeness, meaning the thorough transformation of the whole tripartite man. That's spirit, soul, and body. 1 Thessalonians 5:23. And then he finishes, so many of these holiness preachers are preaching nothing but conduct under law. Law arouses sinful passions and causes sin to increase and was given in order to provoke transgressions. They are the enemies of the cross. So they're preaching a holiness via obedience to the law without the cross understanding, without realizing that it's only when we're being raised up by him who is the resurrection and the life, Jesus Christ, John 11:25. That's when the holiness, that's when the fruit of the Spirit, which includes holiness, good works, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, etc. That all comes out of the cross life when God is raising us up out of that death and burial posture. Amen. Let's pray, saints. Heavenly Father, we are listening and desiring to understand your message to us here, in particular the central message of the cross. And we say, Lord, right now that we are crucified with Christ according to your word, and we ask you to anoint us to the death and burial of self, that you might be raised up in our lives and live through us, and that we would be full of this fruit of your Holy Spirit produced in us in your power and grace, Lord, to please you in all our ways as you bless us to bear fruit, more fruit, and much fruit, according to John 15. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, brothers and sisters, it's been a blessing to spend these moments with you in the Word of God. And remember, there's hundreds of more Christ-centered, scripture-rich, edifying podcasts on safeguardyoursoul.com/audios. There's also a store page with several many books on there for your edification in Christ. They're all scripture-rich and Christ-centered. Also, tens of thousands of saints and sinners are being reached every month, and your prayers are coveted for the fruitfulness and supply of this outreach. God be praised, by the way, for those who are supporting. And feel free to visit our donate page on the site, and you can use your debit card, PayPal, or Patreon, and you can become a monthly sustaining member if you choose to do so, and a gift of any amount is so appreciated. Part of this outreach is to equip and supply other ministering disciples across our great country and all over the world. And may God be praised that there's fruitfulness happening among His people and through His beloved saints, as we know that the return of our Lord Jesus Christ draws nigh. And we say together, in the words of Revelation 22, "Even so, come, Lord Jesus." Amen.